Good morning on a Tuesday. Jim Costa with John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass. We have a busy Tuesday show today. Good morning, John.
We sure do. Good morning. How are you?
Good.
It's great to see everybody this morning. How was your Monday night?
Monday night was fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Heather, yours?
It was uneventful, which
uneventful,
is good.
Which is, that's always a plus.
Yeah.
Yes. Ours was as well. So happy about that.
Happy I was asleep for the Red Wing game. We'll get to that in a second. We have a show today that features the two Grand Slam, and I stress the bar is low today. If you don't hang up during the game, you will do better than our last contestant. You don't have to get anything right. Just try for the full 60 seconds.
Yes.
You have a chance at 7:25 this morning to win some money. Can we set the bar any lower? I don't think so.
No.
We have a question for a specific section of Lions fans later this hour, from doubters to believers. We've got Greg Palm. Another edition of the college football rankings. Who's in, who's out? We're getting closer to actually locking in our first 12-team playoff.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And it's unique. It's providing its own, what Greg Palm is providing its own entertainment. The college football playoffs with 12 teams is providing its own unique intricacies.
If everybody said the regular season is going to get watered down, I'm looking at the last 2 weeks and I'm seeing 20-plus teams that all have something to fight for right now. There's more meaningful games now at this point in the year than we've ever had.
Yeah, it is. But the disappointing part, I think, is the fact that the Lions did so well that we didn't get a chance to talk about a two-game win streak for the Pistons. I was hopeful last night that they would have put together their first three-game win streak, because we know, obviously, with Doug Karsh, bet last year that they didn't get three in a row, and I thought last night was the perfect opportunity, because if they had won, not only would it have been a three-game win streak, they would have been back to 500. They were playing a Bulls team that they should have beat. They're getting on Thursday night an opportunity for a redo down in Charlotte. For the tip-in that lost the last one, I thought, man, this is a great opportunity. We can have a little excitement. No. You can only have one good thing at a time.
What? Yeah, listen, and we'll take the Lions leading the pack right now. Yes. The Lions are potentially saving Derek Lalonde's jobs right now.
Because who's talking about them?
No, nobody's talking about the Red Wings, who just went 0 for California on this West Coast swing. 0 for 3. They lost last night. They were outshot in all three games. Lalonde's very fortunate. That was a 10:30 puck drop. Many of you did not watch, and many of you have been wrapped up in this Lions fever. But the Red Wings, as you wake up today, have the fewest points in the Eastern Conference. They're a terrible 5-on-5 hockey team. Bottom five in shots for and against, and two teams worse than them, Sharks and Ducks, just beat them on this West Coast trip, John.
They are, in their last 11 games, 3 wins, 8 losses.
They've been outshot in 14 of the 18 games. Are you guys getting a theme here? This is not a good hockey
team.
Here's
where I can't. How come they can't get more shots? 34-20 last night, but even worse, outshot 10-3 in the third. You only put up 3 shots in the third period? Really?
Close hockey game, too. And some of those came on the power play at the very end.
Right.
So they really were going 1-2 shots for most of the final period. John, they shot 41-18 against the Kings on Saturday. And I get it. It's a football weekend. No one's watching. And that might be the saving grace for the pressure on Derek Lalonde. But it doesn't change the reality. And I'll be honest with you guys. The reality is more than just Derek Lalonde. This is the roster assembled by Steve Yzerman 6 years on the job. We can talk about firing Derek Lalonde, and I think it's a conversation people are having right now. It doesn't change the bigger issues with this hockey team.
No,
that's not me sticking up for Lalonde. I mean, the NHL coaches are hired to be fired. They're fired more often than pro football, than MLB, than
they're
NBA.
They're fired quick. I mean, we've seen coaches fired, 7 games in? We've seen them fired at any point during the season, and teams actually recover from it.
Yeah, last year, 3 teams fired their coach and made the playoffs. One of them made the Stanley Cup. 14 coaches have been replaced in the last season. That's almost half the league has turned over their coach. Some of them were playoff teams. Some of them were teams that made deep playoff runs. These teams have all been very quick to move on from their coach, because if this guy's message is running thin, if they're not getting production out of their guys, they want to spark that locker room. It's frequent that we'll see coaches fired in the NHL. We've had 20 coaches hired the last 2 seasons. 2/3 of the league has been hired the last 2 seasons. So the idea that Derek Lalonde's job is safe, it's not. I mean, it's only Yzerman that's keeping his job safe at this point.
Well, and the biggest difference from last year to this year is last year, how many at halfway through the season, we talked about how many guys were scoring goals, that mm-hmm. there was offensive production. The excitement was you didn't really know who was going to come from, and so you just didn't care. It just as long as it happened. This year, I mean, the differential right now, minus 14, they can't get shots. They can't score. And it's a painful watch. And I don't know how many times I have to say this, where, you know, you watch the first period, you're like, oh, okay, here we go. Right, right. And then you watch the second, you're like, what am I watching? And then you watch the third, you're like, it just got worse. Like, can they please play three periods in one game?
This goes back to the end of last year, which is when we were talking about Lalonde. John, that game last night, they had a 2-1 lead. They had a 3-2 lead. They had a big emotional game-tying power play goal in the final 2 minutes of the third period. Hey, momentum's going to swing their way. They're the better team, right? San Jose's one of the worst in hockey. Whatever happened, you get to overtime, you get your point. Now you go for the win, and it's a rookie, Macklin Celebrini, who's celebrating as the Wings lose again. 0 for California, 0 for 3. 1-4-3 on the road trip because they beat Pittsburgh to kick it off. But, John, it's just not good enough. And I wonder when something happens.
Like Thursday night.
Okay.
Thursday night. They're saving it up for the return of Jim Costa to the LCA.
Because exactly what you need right now is me walking in the building. I am 0-3 as a fan this season, as a paying customer.
Going to have to break it at some point.
And they've lost by at least 3 goals in all 3 games that I have been to. So, yeah, you know what this team needs right now is another one of those on Thursday. John, if they lose on Thursday, I might just lose it. I mean, this is ridiculous. Maybe I will officially be on the fire Lalonde train at that point.
You're on the edge.
I feel like I am.
You're standing up, looking over the abyss.
You didn't think they'd be this bad.
Nobody did. No, I mean... I thought that they will, and they're not out of contending for a playoff spot. All right, so right now they're 3 points back. So yes, they're in last. They're tied for last place in points, tied with the Blue Jackets and the Canadiens, but they're not 100% out of it by any means at this point. But I thought that if this is where it's frustrating. If they could at least get shots, if they could at least score a little bit or play consistent hockey, they would be right in the thick of it.
Thing is, though, I don't know how the 5-on-5 gets better.
Well,
other than the younger guys improving slightly over the course of the season. And that's when you play the majority of your hockey. So while you're right, they're only, I saw that, they're 3 out. I mean, they play the Bruins on Saturday night. I just don't know where the fix is with this. Like, even if you fired the coach, I'm not quite sure. You get that oomph, you get that energy, you get the new voice, but that wears off, you know? I don't know. I think it's very bleak where this team's headed this season.
I guess what's the alternative to not firing Lalonde?
There isn't one right now.
Right.
The off-season decisions that were, what? They weren't, like, humongous decisions for the course of the franchise, but... They seem to be not the right ones, you know?
I remember we were the bad guys for pointing out that they didn't add a high-impact player this offseason. So it's a question about Steve Yzerman, right, and the urgency. You're in your sixth season. I know you don't want to hand out term. God forbid you overpay for a good hockey player. You got too many good ones on the team right now. Am I missing something?
I mean look,
there should be heat on Steve Yzerman because the roster is his. To your point, sure, they could make a coaching change. I think you could justify it right now. It doesn't change the issues with the roster that he built.
Well, right. They didn't want to get Stamkos because they didn't want to do the term. But then if you look at what Nashville's doing so far, they're not playing good hockey either.
Well, it doesn't have to be Stamkos.
Right, right. I know. But, I mean, at what point, what fish was out there that was bigger than him almost?
Right.
You know, so, again, it's just...
Well, the Kraken added Brandon Montour, who was a top pair defenseman on a Stanley Cup team, but he got a 7-year deal, and can't do that.
Exactly. No, I mean, I just don't know at this point. It seems that firing Lalonde is almost imminent in normal NHL cities, but for some reason, he's getting all this time. I mean, you just made the point, 14 coaches fired, and this is what happens in hockey. And it'll be interesting to see how they play Thursday night when they come home, and then Boston. They have a lot of games. They got like 5 or 6 games like up till Thanksgiving, and including Black Friday. I just don't see how this turns. I've watched enough hockey in my life. Fixing 5-on-5 is a tough go. Yeah, when
that's your spine. Your 5-on-5 is your spine. That's your backbone. If that's fractured, you're never walking. I mean, that's just the reality.
20% of the season's almost over. You know, Thanksgiving is often the first barometer hockey people use to kind of gauge, okay, here's who's competing and here's not. And what, you know, kind of makes everything convoluted in hockey is the stupid overtime loss. I mean, I look at it, they're in a 7-11 hockey team. Yeah. They won 7 games, they lost 11.
Yeah.
You got 2 overtime losses, so it's 7-9-2, and it sugarcoats what you are. I mean, last night was a dichotomy of exactly what this team is. You know, get the power play hot, can almost win a game. Just remember who they lost to on this trip.
Well, that's the thing, because we're all talking about the offense, but what about the defense? Like, you're talking about Anaheim, LA, and San Jose. Do any of these strike fear offensively into many other franchises?
Anaheim and San Jose are two of the worst offensive hockey teams.
And they outshot you 34-20 last night.
Yeah,
right. I mean,